These past few weeks, we've been sharing about evangelism. And evangelism is the preaching and the promulgation, the proclamation and the spreading of the gospel. And the gospel is the good news of Christ. And we've talked about that over these past few weeks. Last week, we came to the point where we said the gospel is all about Jesus, who he is, and what he's done. Jesus Christ, God's only Son, that's who he is. He died in our place so we could be forgiven of our sins and be reconciled to God. Now, what I want to point out to you today is we so often focus on he died in our place so we could be forgiven that we miss what it means to be reconciled to God. There's so much more than just this piece. Let's look a little bit further. Last week, we boiled down the gospel to these six words. This, by the way, I forgot to mention last week, this is from a ministry called Dare to Share, and they call this Life in Six Words. And it's also on your handout. If you take a look at that, I want to point out some things about those six words. They're not really six words, but six sentences, if you recall. God created us to be with him. Our sins separate us from God. Number one, God loves us. Number two, our sins separate us. Remember, we just heard that in the bridge illustration. Sins can't be removed by our good deeds. Paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again. Everyone who trusts in him alone has eternal life. And life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. So those are the six words. That talks about who Jesus is and what he did. And if you look at the middle four, if you will, from our sins separate us to everyone who trusts in him. This is this focus that we sometimes have about when we share the gospel. We almost get to the point where we're maybe a little annoying, and we say, you're a sinner, and you need to be saved. It's true. I mean, it's the core. It's that turning point that we have to have. People have to realize that they need Jesus' forgiveness. But if you look at the other two statements, those four, they focus on this issue of being forgiven and so forth. But the first one it starts and ends with God. Okay, God created us to be with him. God loves us. God has established a creation. God has established a kingdom that he created us to be part of, and then we were broken from it. And he wants to reconcile us and restore us so that we have life with Jesus. This is the kingdom that he's calling us to. You may remember even from last week's children's message, Brian shared, Jesus, when he came, he began to preach, the time has come, the kingdom of God has come near, repent and believe the good news. Repent, that's the middle four, believe the good news. What's the good news? The kingdom is near. This thing that God has created and invited us to is available to us. And we focus on this. It's like we get down in somebody's face and we go, here, I want to share good news with you. You're a sinner. And if you don't do what I tell you to do, you're going to hell. Is that good news for anybody? That focus of being in somebody's face, as opposed to God has created great things and he has a plan for you. Right now there's a problem, and I'm going to show you how to fix that. But God loves you, and he wants you to spend eternity with him. Is that a little bit better good news, you think? Let's focus on that. Let's be sure that when we share the gospel, we're not in their face in a condemning way. I mean, do you understand that oftentimes evangelical Christians, born-again Christians, have this reputation. We're just telling everybody how wrong they are. We're telling them what we're against. Shouldn't we be telling them that God loves them and that God has something for them? Yes, there's a problem. Yes, there's sin, but Jesus is taking care of it. Okay? Let's try and change our focus just a little bit. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Come follow me. Jesus wants to teach us how to live our lives in a way that's joyful and victorious. He went on to teach several things. He taught about relationships. He taught about character. He taught about love. He talked about faithfulness and integrity. And he talked about what wisdom was. The man who builds his house on the rock, who applies what I've taught, that man is wise, and his house will stand against any storm. So much more than just you're a sinner and need to be forgiven. God has a blessing for us, this kingdom that he wants to build us into. Yes, there is a need to turn There is a need to repent. There is a need to recognize our sin and surrender it to Christ and ask his forgiveness. But it's the beginning of a new life with Christ. It starts now and lasts forever. God's perfect, holy, righteous, loving, peaceful, kind, gentle kingdom, Jesus calls us to be part of that. It's unfortunate that our approach to the gospel, our big picture, Christianity as a whole, sometimes our approach to the gospel seems to convey that the big idea, the big issue is dodging that bullet of not going to hell. How weak is that? I just don't want to go to hell when there's so much more that God wants to give us. That's the message we want to bring. That's the good news. That's why we should be stirred with enthusiasm and excitement about the opportunity to share with someone. Why don't you want to go knock on your neighbor's door? Well, I don't want to be the one to tell him he's a sinner and he's going to hell. Well, no. We want to be the ones to tell him that God loves him, that God has a plan. God will take care of those issues. The brokenness that's in his life, God has a purpose and a plan to care for that. Don't get me wrong. Our sin is a barrier. No question. Our sin is a barrier between us and God, and it must be dealt with. And God has graciously offered us an opportunity to do so, a means to do so. But if that's our entire message, then we've missed the opportunity to truly glorify God and to lead others to worship and honor him, to share with them the truth of God's presence with us, the opportunity for us to fulfill the purpose for which we were created. Let's not get so focused just on you're a sinner, but God loves you. Let's be sure to share the entire gospel, a gospel of joyful hope, of perfection, not a gospel of threat, not narrow escape from judgment. God's willing to let you get past this if you would just... No, God loves you. He has great things for you. So let's have that mindset as we continue in the service. Eric, if you'd come in the worship team, we're going to sing some more songs. And as while we're singing that, think this through a little bit. Ponder it a little bit. What has been your holdback from sharing the gospel with other people? Is it because we're focused on the wrong things? Is it because you don't know how to share it? That's what we're trying to address today. Eric shared the bridge illustration. After we sing, Brian Toffelmeyer is going to share an illustration called The Big Story. And then Steve and I are going to continue our little role play as we talk about a thing called the three circles. These are all methods of sharing the gospel. In these methods that Brian and I talk about, look for the kingdom. It's not just about you have sin that needs to be dealt with. There's more to it than that. As I told you, today is a little bit different. I've asked Brian Toffelmeyer to share with you another method of sharing the gospel. This one's called The Big Story. It's been developed or presented by InterVarsity on-campus ministry. Brian, welcome. If you look in your bulletin, you'll see that there's an envelope. That's just to be a signal to you that every believer should be ready to share the gospel. Every believer should be ready to sketch out on a napkin the bridge illustration, the big story, the three circles, some method of putting in front of folks the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news that God has a plan in his kingdom for them. Right?
I'm a big fan of the bridge diagram. I use it all the time when I was on campus. It's particularly good at zooming in on an individual's separation from God, right? An individual's need to be reconciled with the Creator. It's very good at that. As the college ministry developed and student population changed a little bit, the modern generation cared more and more about bigger things, right? About brokenness in the world. And so InterVarsity created a slightly different version to capture the gospel, but more of the gospel, right? It doesn't zoom in quite as on one spot quite as well, but it tries to give you a big story, the big story, hence the name, and capture what Jesus' redemptive work did on a grand scale. So if I was going to share this with a student or a person, I would start with the brokenness. So when you look at the world around today, what do you see? Well, you see, watch the news, right? You see wars, you see famine, you see natural disaster, you see people hurting people, right? So when you look at the world, you see a world that is broken. It's a broken world, right? And not only that, you see people who have broken relationship with each other, who hurt each other, who use each other, who lie, who steal. And in fact, we all do this at some level, right? Because ultimately, we are broken as well. And this brokenness or evil that we all see in the world and just somehow know it is wrong, this is what the Bible calls sin. And we all just know that this is not the way it should be. This is not how the world should look. Something inside of us tells us that's wrong. And just like hunger points to a need, a solution, food, and thirst points to a solution, need, water, right? This knowing that the world is broken points to something better, something different. Because the world wasn't supposed to be like this. And inside, if we're honest with ourselves, we know that. Because the Bible tells us that God created the world, and it was good. It was a peaceful place, right, where the world worked together in harmony. And he created people to live in right relationship with him. And this will be our symbol for God, for right relationship with God, okay? So to be in right relationship with God and right relationship with each other and right relationship in the world. Because the world was ultimately designed for good. Okay, with me so far? So then the question has to be asked, how did we get here? What happened? Well, humanity ultimately decided, we decided that we know better than God. We can make our own choices. We know what's right and wrong, right? We can decide what was best for us, right? And that ultimately led to selfishness and greed, and broken hearts in ourselves, broken relationship, and a whole world of broken systems that are damaged. And ultimately, this broke our relationship with God as well. And the world as we see it today is damaged by evil. Now, unfortunately, I think most people stop here, and the world's a bad place. But the good news, the hope that Christianity brings to the world is that it doesn't end there, right? In this damaged, broken world, God busted in. He came into this broken, messed up, damaged world in the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus fought against evil and brokenness. He taught us a better way to live. And ultimately, evil pushed on back. Evil pushed back and crushed him on the cross. But here's the good news. Evil wasn't more powerful than Jesus and isn't more powerful than God. And so he resurrected on the third day, right? Breaking evil's power. And so now, for those of us who trust in Jesus, and when I say trust in Jesus, I mean believe what he says and do what he says. If you trust someone, you believe what they say and you do what they say. So trust in Jesus. We are then tapping into his power, right, in his healing. And we can be healed from the brokenness in our lives. We can have a right relationship with God. And we can once again have a right relationship with each other. We can say this is called healed for better. And that'd be a good place to stop the story, wouldn't it? Except that we still look around and see this brokenness. And so God's not done with us yet. He's not done with the world yet. His story isn't complete yet. Because we still live in a broken world. And if you can't see this, these are little pairs of people. I know I'm getting small for you out there. Now, those of us who trust in Jesus, right, do what he says and act like it's true, and tap into his power, his healing, and bring that to the world. We proclaim that he has restoring and healing powers for your life, for your relationships, and for the entire world. And if you'll do just a brief survey of history in the last 100 years, most of the social movements, the civil rights movement, the abolitionist movement, the women's suffrage movement, have been driven by Christians who believed and trusted in Jesus' message and went out to make the world a better place. If we join God in his mission, we are sent to heal. So this may just ask a question, if you're talking with someone. The question may be, well, why do I have to go through Jesus? Why do I have to go around this way? Why can't I just be an agent of change, of healing in the world? And the reason is because ultimately, without Christ's power, you bring your brokenness with you. You carry that with you, right? And you end up, as so many people do, burned out, right, and tired because you fought brokenness in your own power. It's only through when we find healing in Jesus', because he's the one who resurrected, right? He's the one who broke evil's power. When we tap into that, do we have the power to go out into his mission and save and be part of his saving work in the world? So the question I would put to you or someone I was sharing is, where would you put yourself on this diagram, right? Are you here? You're thinking, hey, the world's a really good place. Everything's fine. I don't see a problem. Are you here thinking, man, there's just no hope. Everything is so bad. I'm so bad. Are you here where you have tasted and seen that Jesus offers you hope? Or are you here thinking, I want to tap into God's healing power and be an agent of change in the world? Or are you somewhere in between? That's a great place to ask that question and then pause and have them put themselves somewhere on this diagram, right? And then ask the question, why do you put yourself there? Because you can learn a lot about their view of themselves and their view of God by where they put themselves on this and what reasons they give.
So let me see if I get this right. It's extra large, double decaf, double dark, extra sprinkles, double shot of gold dust? Is that your order?
Would you drink it any other way?
I drink it straight. I'm a man's man.
All righty. Very good. Yeah, well, that's where we're going.
This has been a lot of fun, man. I appreciate the time out. It's been I feel like I haven't been out on a normal, you know, mandate in a while, you know, without alcohol and
yeah,
that
right,
kind of stuff.
Right. So. Well, before we go, though, have you had any time to think about what we talked about last week when you were at work?
Right, right.
Putting
yeah,
that report together.
It's a little confusing. I mean, there are a lot of big topics, you know, and God is such a big kind of idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess I kind of need to talk it through a little bit further. I have been thinking about it. It's
right.
Not been at the, you know, totally back burner or whatever. So.
Excellent. Well, if you would, what I suggested last week is maybe I'd share with you what the Bible says. And what I want to do is give you a little visual. In fact, I actually happen to have a blank envelope.
Well, isn't that convenient?
That is convenient. And what I want to do is just make a little diagram for you to kind of share with you this truth, really. You know, the question we had last week is, if what you believe isn't true, would you want to know? And so I want to share with you what truth is. You know, we live in a broken world, right? Look around, you can see brokenness in the government, brokenness in terrorism, brokenness in relationships and families, and divorce is just rampant.
I'm with you.
Okay, so we're on the same page. This broken world should give us an idea. The fact that we see it as broken, that kind of indicates to us that there's something that could be, should be different, okay? Mm-hmm.
So what I want to share with you is the truth of what the Bible says. And what the Bible says is that God's design, God made a world that was perfect, that didn't have all this brokenness. Everything worked together, all the people got along. It was just this perfect design that God wanted. In fact, when he finished the creation, Scripture says that he saw all that he had created, and he saw that it was very good.
Something happened.
Something
Obviously,
happened.
That's not the way we're
Something
we
happened.
See
well,
it right now.
Just in the same way you and I, and I'm speaking for you, but I think that's safe. The same way as you and I kind of want to do things our way, that the same happened with Adam and Eve, but really it's just this selfish desire to do things our own way instead of God's way. God has this perfect way, and we say, you know what? I think I can do better. And so there's this issue of doing things our own way, opposite of what God's design is, and the Bible calls that sin. Right? Mm. You familiar with that term at all?
Yes. I am a sinner.
You're a sinner. Well, good. Well, me too.
Oh, know. Okay.
But but I drink my coffee this way anyway. So, you know. So there's this issue of sin where we've broken God's design, and that leads to brokenness in us and in the world around us. This whole issue of brokenness. And as we said, we see it in violence, we see it in crime, we see it in broken relationships. And the thing is, everybody sees that brokenness and says, there must be something different. There must be something else I could do. And so they start these little squiggly lines are things people try to heal their own brokenness. Some pursue, say, success, or they pursue athleticism, and they're going to be the best at what they do, and they try real hard at that. Or some people, they pursue some form of escape or fantasy, whether that's in thinking more highly of themselves or just ignoring what's going on in the world and saying everything's hunky-dory when they know it isn't, but they act like it is. Or when they pursue fantasy in their relationships, it's all just evidence that there is something different.
I'll be honest with you, Jim, I think this is where I live right now.
Really?
I think I can see what you're talking about. I can see that, you know, there's just something that's kind of empty about my life. I mean, I wouldn't say this to most people. Everyone says, you know, thinks I might have it together. I've got, you know, I've got a skateboard in the garage, and I've got, you know, just got to think my act together. I live in mom's basement, that kind of thing. Things are really coming together for me, but you know, I find that I'm out with girls every night, different one every night. I'm out with guys, you know, having coffee and kind of, you know, some things that don't quite fit.
Right, and those things you're pursuing, have they really helped you?
No.
Okay. Well, see, that's kind of the point. We're all in the same boat together. The Bible says, for all have sinned. So when I say I'm a sinner, I'm not just trying to make you feel good. I am a sinner too, and it's, so is everyone else. But the Bible also says the wages of sin is death, this brokenness, this separation from God, all comes because of sin. And so we try all these things, all these little squiggly lines that we're pursuing. We try those things to try and get back to where we think it ought to be. Mm-hmm. But the fact is, we don't really understand where it ought to be. Mm-hmm. And what we need is God's plan to restore it. And so God provided a remedy. And that remedy is our rescue from this brokenness. Are you familiar? We haven't talked. You said you're not a churchgoer last time we talked. But are you familiar with any Bible verses? There's just one verse that almost everybody knows. Maybe you know John 3:16. Are you familiar with that at all?
Is that early to bed and early to rise?
No, that's not the one. For God so loved?
No.
No, you don't know that one? Okay, well, this is a key of the whole good news. In fact, this verse alone kind of tells the whole story. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. This life back in God's design, that's the eternal life he wants us to have, but we're headed for perishing. So God sent his son. So this next circle here, we're going to call it good news. We're going to call it the gospel. That's the Bible word for good news. And the good news is that Jesus has provided a way for us to be restored to God's design.
Okay.
We know the break in our relationship with God is this sin issue. And so we know that we have to somehow deal with that. And God did that through Jesus Christ. Jesus came as a man. This is the Jesus Christ of Christmas. We celebrate when he was born. You're probably familiar with that.
He brought the Easter eggs.
He brought the Easter eggs. Not exactly. Not exactly. But Easter is also a time that's is a big deal in his life because he died on the cross to pay the penalty for your and my sin. Mm. And then on Easter, he rose again, showing his authority over that sin, showing his authority over evil, showing his authority over this brokenness so that we could be restored. Our sins could be taken away. And so it's not just enough to hear this good news. The Bible tells us that we need to repent and believe. Now, repent is the Bible word for turning. Okay. We're going to turn away from our way of doing things. We're turn away from sin. We're going to turn to the provision that God has made. Turn to Jesus Christ. So we're going to repent. We're going to turn ourselves around, realize there's something better, and we're going to believe. Repent and believe. And what we believe in, that means we put our trust in. We realize that Jesus Christ really is God, his Son. He really did live a life and die in our place, and he really did raise again to put sin behind us. And so he invites us to repent and believe and to be part of this good story, this good news that we can be restored to God. And when we're willing to do that, he not only takes our sin away, but he comes to live in us. And his Holy Spirit lives in us, and that gives us the opportunity to return to God's design.
I'm sorry, did you say Holy Spirit lives in us?
Yes, the Holy Spirit, God, there's God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. He's all one God, and I'll tell you, it's really confusing.
Have you ever heard of alien abductions?
I have. That's not what I'm talking about, though.
Okay.
This is back to God's design. God's design is that he would have a relationship with us day by day, minute by minute. He would guide us into what's right. He would protect us from evil, and he does that through living in us.
Have you done this?
I have, absolutely.
Are you telling me that there are people in this world that are living like... Right now, they're kind of part of God's design. They're kind of separated from the brokenness that everyone else seems to be a part of?
Yes, I am saying that. Because
wow.
Because of the gospel, we are able to recover back to God's design and then pursue what he would have us do. We're to pursue his design in having an impact on that brokenness. Mm. That's why I'm here today. I've been forgiven of my sins and restored to a relationship with God, and I want to share that with you.
Okay. Well, thanks for the coffee.
You're welcome.
And I've got lots to think about. I think, like I said, I'm right about here.
Okay.
And some big things to be thinking about.
Absolutely.
Anytime
you want to talk. This is just kind of the visual to give you an idea. If you want to take some time to look into the Bible itself, I'll show you some verses.
Yeah, when you say
read
gospel,
the whole thing,
what
the
is
gospel.
That? What does that exactly look like? Is that the Bible? Am I reading the Bible? Is that how you find the truth?
That's where it is,
okay.
Yes. The gospel is one word to wrap it all up, good news, and God told his whole story in the Bible.
Yep.
And it's a pretty thick book. It'd take you a while to read the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'd like to do is, if you'd like to do it, is to show you 7-10 verses or so, just not to take them out of context, but they're kind of summary statements within the Bible that give you an idea about what this good news really is.
Let me mull on this for a little bit. Do you mind if I take the diagram with
Absolutely.
Me?
Absolutely. That's why I drew it. I'll try to, if I do another one for you, I'll try to write a little more legibly
okay.
next time.
Well, it's up here too.
Oh, yeah. Good. Cool. I'll send you a copy of that.
Okay, great.
Very good.
So I guess I'll see you at work Monday?
Excellent.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jim.
Thanks, Jim.